These four verses that were just read for us, there is one key concept. Actually, it's mentioned three times, and it relates to the memory. We want to suggest several points in connection with that concept of remembering. But first, we want to look at three other words of importance in this text. And the first one of those is translated neglect or negligent. It's the Greek word amaleo, which means negligent or neglect. It's only found five times in the New Testament, including 1 Timothy 4:14, where Paul tells Timothy not to neglect the gift that is in him through the laying on of hands. So that was something that should not be overlooked, something that should not be neglected. It's also found in Hebrews 2:3, where we are not to neglect those things that have been delivered us. We use this passage quite frequently, so it's possibly very familiar to you. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, which begins with, "We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" So this word is familiar. We've seen it in some familiar passages, including this one. The Greek "ah" precedes the other word. Well, going back to this, amaleo, the "ah" is in front of maleo, and that means it negates the original concept, which is to care. Maleo means to care. Amaleo is not to care, it's to neglect, to be negligent. And this word is also used in a number of passages, such as when Jesus was awakened in the ship, and they asked him, "Master, do you not care that we are perishing?" John chapter 10 and verse 13, the hireling does not care for the sheep. Acts chapter 18 and verse 17, remember when people were beaten before the judgment seat of Gallio because he did not care for those things. And then also we find it used in 1 Peter 5:7 in a positive way. "Cast all your care on Jesus, for he cares for you." So we have care on one side and neglect when the "ah" is placed before the word. Those things that we do not care for, we neglect. We're negligent concerning those. But Peter did care about the brethren, so he would not neglect to remind them of the things they needed to be reminded of, the things that they were to supply to their faith, and then God would supply them an entrance to the everlasting kingdom. So when he says that I'm not being neglectful of putting you in memory of these things, these things are the things we looked at in the last several weeks that we need to add or supply to our faith. The word "remember" is our main focus this morning, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let's finish commenting on verse 12 in our text this morning. The reason that Christians needed to be reminded of these things was that they already knew them. This is why they only needed to be reminded. They already knew these things and were established in the present truth. They were established in these things. They were not taught the gospel and then left deserted or left untaught. These things were made known to them. So as they are reading this letter, it is not as though they had never heard these things before, but rather they are being reminded of these things. And before we complete this morning, we'll know why they are being reminded of these things. This is the present truth. Christianity is the present truth. The law of Moses was the truth by which they had previously been governed. But now we have the full truth. Remember what Peter said at the outset about God having given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we now have the full truth, the present truth, the truth that is going to be operative from now until when the Lord returns. And for this system, for the Christian system, there were ample prophecies made ahead of time. There were foreshadowings of the new system to come, Christianity. There were things that pointed to the Savior, things that pointed to Jesus as the prophet, things that pointed to Jesus as the priest, the high priest that was going to come, Psalm 110. There were things that pointed to Jesus as king. In fact, David was promised that one of his descendants would reign, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. So as you go back over the Old Testament, there are a number of prophecies about this new system. However, in this new system, there is no prophecy of some further system to take its place. Although some have sought to do so, such as the Muslim religion, or such as the things that Joseph Smith claimed to have revealed. But there is nothing other than this present truth. And a part of that truth is that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for all time. He is it. There is no need for a further sacrifice. His was complete. It was full. It was effective. And thus, we are not looking for anything further. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were not complete. They were not perfect. They were not effective. They were only a type of that which was to come, Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. But now that is it. There is nothing further that needs to be done. We have complete salvation in Christ. So therefore, there are no new prophecies that we expect, because they have all been fulfilled in the Christian system. Now, Peter says that as long as he is in the flesh, which he refers to as this tabernacle, this tent, referring to the human body, it is right to stir them up by reminding them. The word translated stir up is used here and a little bit later in chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider that we need to go back to 2 Peter. We'll get to that passage in just a moment. But in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. And so stir up is used again, and reminder is used again. And again, this is the key concept, being reminded of things, remembering things that we're discussing this morning. But he says, I want to stir up you in regard to these things. That's the other five times besides 2 Peter 3:1 and the verse we're looking at, we find that it means to awaken. To awaken. Mark 4, verses 38 and 39 is when they awakened Jesus in the ship and said, do you not care that we are perishing? And he rose up. Same thing in Luke chapter 8 and verse 24. But let's go back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 24 for the first use of this word in the New Testament. And this involves Joseph. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. So it's kind of an awakening, an arousal from sleep. Stir up. Get somebody awake. Get them going. We have alarm clocks out in the foyer in case anybody has a problem with that. It will stir you up. It will awaken you. And then John chapter 6 and verse 18. Shortly after the feeding of the 5,000, John chapter 6 and verse 18. Then the sea arose. It's like it has been awakened. The sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So this is how the word is used in all of those passages. This Greek word is a combination of a preposition used with arise or risen or resurrection. And of course, the times that those words are used in the New Testament are too numerous to look at. But Peter says he is stirring them up. He is awakening them to the remembrance of the things that he has taught them in the past. And he is doing so because, in verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. In other words, he knows that his time on earth is very short. And he's going to be putting off this tent, this physical body, this tabernacle, as Jesus had previously shown him. Furthermore, he will be careful to ensure, perhaps via this very letter, that they would have a reminder of these things after his decease. And so this is now the third time we see reminder or remembrance. It's an integral part of this passage. Jesus used the same word in Luke chapter 9 and verse 31, referring to his decease. So Jesus used the word to his disciples, talking about his decease coming up in Luke 9:31. The other time this word is used, besides in this passage, is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. So let's take a look at that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. You might be expecting the word decease, but that's not the translation you'll find in that passage. Hebrews 11:22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Remember? He said, here's what I want you to do. Someday you will depart from Egypt, and I want you to carry my bones. And when they left Egypt, that is precisely what they did, and he was buried in the land of Canaan. Well, the departure from Egypt, departure and decease, what do those two things have in common? The thing that they have in common is that they are both translated from the Greek word exodos. To depart from this world is an exodus. And so it can be referring to the one out of Egypt, or it could be referring to one's own personal exodus from this life to the next. But now we want to concentrate for the rest of our time this morning on the two words translated remember. One of them is memorable. The word in chapter 1, verse 15 is mnemonuo, from which we get the word mnemonic, a means of helping you remember something. We call those a mnemonic device. Possibly, if you ever learned piano, you were taught every good boy does fine. And those are each lines. That's what that note is, E, G, B, D, F. The ones in between are face, F-A-C-E. But if you've never learned piano, you may not find this all that interesting. But anyway, the point is it's a mnemonic device. And the word mnemonic is to try to help you to remember something, which piano students need all the help they can get. But more important than the derivation of the word is what we are supposed to remember. What are some things that we are supposed to remember? Now, there are a number of things that the word remember is used in connection with in the New Testament. And we plan on only looking at a few this week and several next week. Things that ought to be remembered. Now, this week we're going to look at the passages that are used that are not from the word we get mnemonic. This is another Greek word. And there's just a few of them, so we want to take a look at that. It is always good to remember the word of the Lord. That's what we find in Luke 22:61. He remembered the word of the Lord. But on this occasion, it was embarrassing to Peter to remember the word of the Lord. Remember the context of the passage? Let's go back and take a look at it. This happened on the night that Jesus was betrayed, and it had been foretold that Peter would deny Christ three times, which he did. And that's when the Lord turned and looked at Peter after the third denial, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. Hopefully you don't have that experience, but you might have had something similar to that. Perhaps you lost your temper and said something inappropriate. Maybe you remembered the word of the Lord that every idle word you speak will be brought into the judgment. Matthew 12, verse 36. You would be remembering the word of the Lord, but you would be embarrassed because of what you had just done. Or maybe you said something of an off-colored nature in the fury of the moment. And then afterward, you remembered that Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You remember the word of the Lord, but it was embarrassing because you remembered it afterward, not before you said it. Maybe you remembered the word of the Lord after stealing something years ago And then you remember there was this commandment against stealing. Or maybe you committed some form of fornication and remembered the word of the Lord concerning that. Maybe you were unkind to someone and then realized the word of the Lord, be kind to one another. There are many things that could have happened similar to what the realization that Peter had. Maybe you had that realization. But hopefully you remember the word of the Lord before you commit sin rather than afterward. Next, we want to consider John 14, 25 and 26. And that involves the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples of how they would remember things. In John 14, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now, some people get very confused over this verse. This was a promise that Jesus made to his apostles. This is not a promise Jesus made to us. The Holy Spirit can't bring to remembrance things we heard Jesus say because we didn't hear him say anything because we were not on the earth with him. But his apostles were. And they heard him speak privately and they heard him speak publicly. But memory being what it is, human memory, you might forget some things. You might leave out a word. You might have a mistaken concept of what he said. And so the Holy Spirit would bring remembrance to them precisely what Jesus said. So that is a promise to them that the Lord made regarding the Holy Spirit. We don't get Holy Spirit inspiration as they did. We have to learn the Word of God and repeat it and be reminded of it, or maybe employ some mnemonic aid to help us out in memorizing scriptures. But we have to do it the hard way. And that's what Peter is telling them that they would be having to do. He would remind them of these things so that they would remember them. And we have to study and learn and remind ourselves of the things we have already been taught. Again, remember is used in 2 Peter 3:1 as well as 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. This is the reason for the writings, so that we can study them repeatedly. This is all the word we will ever get. We don't have to worry that when we read through the Bible that next week there's going to be another book that large, or the next year, or the next decade. This is all of the word we have and will ever have and will ever need. While Peter had life, he felt compelled to repeat these words. Now, one more verse that we want to use involving the word remember is Jude, verse 5. In Jude, verse 5, we find this verse. "But I want to remind you, I want to remind you that though you once knew this, the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." Now you have been taught this, you know this, but I need to remind you of this, that what? Having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, he afterward destroyed them. So that's what they need to be reminded of, and we're going to talk about why in just a few moments. But we must remember that certain things need to be repeated. And if you don't believe they need to be repeated, just ask a husband who's forgotten his wife's birthday or their anniversary. There are things we must be reminded of. And they knew it, but he was reminding them of it again anyway. Now, what were they reminded of? That the Lord saved Israel out of Egypt, but then he afterward destroyed those who do not believe. Let's get an expanded form of this idea from Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. Because this will explain it in more detail. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, and this is what Peter felt compelled to remind them of, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Okay, well, this is the same thing that he is telling them to remember, isn't it? But why? Well, let's read verses 12 through 19. Beware, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ. Now notice, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Oh, that sure doesn't sound like once saved, always saved, does it? If we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, all of that Jude just mentions in one verse. So you might not realize all that he is talking about, but everything we just read from Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 19, is what he's referring to here in Jude 5. But I want to remind you, again we read, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who do not believe. What is the point of all of this? You cannot just continue to think everything is all right and then cease to obey God. You have to continue steadfast to the end. So for that reason, They, the brethren to whom Peter is writing, needed to supply all the previous things to their faith and be reminded about those things, lest they be destroyed as those who left Egypt. We are in the same position. We have been saved. We have been delivered. But there is a risk that we might fall just like they fell in the wilderness if we are not careful and if we do not develop these characteristics we've been talking about for the last couple of months. Salvation does not depend on what you were in the past or what God has done for you in the past. It depends on who you are now. It depends on who you are now. You must continue faithful to the end. You can't remember salvation and the things pertaining to it unless you've been saved. So if you have never obeyed the gospel this morning, then we invite you to consider that seriously. You must repent of your sins. You've got to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you have salvation. Then you must remember what God has done and add these characteristics to your life. You must continually be faithful unto Jesus. It has to be that way until the end. Then that eternal kingdom will be made available to you because you have continued in faith. God will bless you just as he blessed Jesus. Jesus was killed. He was crucified. He was put to death. But he did not stay dead because of who he was. Because he had not sinned. Because he was not worthy of death. Death had no hold on him. God raised him up. Now we're all worthy of death. But Jesus is our sacrifice. And his blood washes away our sins. And God will not desert us when we die any more than he deserted his son. He raised up his son to be glorified, and he will raise up every faithful Christian to be glorified also. That's the promise that we have. But it all depends on how we grow after we become a Christian and how we remain faithful unto the end. If we can help anybody spiritually this morning, as we have discussed, then please let us know, and we will be standing and singing for your encouragement in that regard. Come if you need to at this time.